We find ourselves gathered together this morning for the last assembly on the Lord's Day of this year. It is interesting to notice during the Bible times that periods of transition so often focus on a reflection of what is behind as well as a resolve or commitment towards what lies ahead. At the end of Deuteronomy, at the closure of the Exodus, as Israel begins to transition into the conquest period, in Deuteronomy 31, Moses begins kind of that transition process. As in that chapter, he speaks to the future and challenges the people to resolve, to be strong and courageous in the Lord. And he challenges them to follow the leadership of Joshua. He challenges Joshua to be strong and courageous as well. And then he transitions in chapter 32 to what is often called there that Song of Moses and begins to look back at what God has done during that Exodus. And so in that section, he reminds them of what lies behind while he looks forward to what is ahead. And it's interesting that in Acts 1, I see something similar, although we probably don't normally keep that in the same kind of context. It is certainly a transition. Jesus ascends to heaven in Acts 1, and he leaves behind what becomes a room full of disciples there. And in that discussion, they begin looking for a replacement for Judas, another apostle. But what is interesting is while they do that, there is this kind of review of the ministry of Jesus. They even talk about, now, whoever does this has to have been present from this point through all forward, all of these things. They think about the ministry of Jesus. But they're also looking at the commitment and the resolve that has to be had by this individual going forward. And Matthias is eventually chosen for that work. And there are other periods similarly like that, but the idea there is that transition often brings with it a chance to look back and to look forward. And for our culture, every year we view this calendar rotation as a transition, essentially. We look back at the previous calendar year and we look forward to what is to come and we make resolves or resolutions about what we're going to do for the next year. We do that personally. And it's good for us to do that as a congregation as well. We want to begin by looking back, but I know for most of us, we really don't want to talk much about 2020. It's not been the greatest of years. And yet there are a lot of blessings that have come from this year. But just as a way of review, we had two main focuses of our study and our sermon time together. The first of those was entitled One. By the way, I resisted the urge a year ago to follow what most people did, which was the kind of corny 2020 vision thing. I don't know if you even realized that, but a lot of guys wanted to focus on vision and eyesight in 2020 because the marketing was just too easy, I guess. But we didn't do that. We focused on Ephesians 4, and we focused on the idea of oneness, unity. And unity in those seven areas, and the fellowship, and strengthening our fellowship. And I have to tell you that when we planned that, we didn't have any idea how important that would be as we faced this year together that challenged our fellowship and our unity. And then secondly, we looked into the minor prophets. And we didn't just look at those from a collection of historical prophecies, but also we wanted to focus on seeing Jesus in those prophets and in those books. Secondly, we added five new deacons, and what a blessing that was in the midst of this turmoil to have five of our own to step up and be willing to serve in Patrick Angel and Jonathan Bailey, Sam Dabbs, Chuck West, and Nathan Williams. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the men that serve us. Also mindful, there was another change in leadership. We don't want to overlook that Chris made the decision to step away from the role of being a shepherd, and we certainly were not excited to hear that, but understand those reasons. And I just want to publicly say I'm so grateful for him and his work and for Kelly and her work. And I know they continue to do great work among us without any title necessary, and just integral part, but want to make mention of that. We are blessed with good leadership. We have 4 shepherds that serve us and 9 deacons, and what a tremendous blessing that is. But looking back, there's also the adversity of 2020. And we can't have this lesson without reflecting on that just for a moment. Our in-person assemblies were interrupted for a brief period of time, and even now they're not normal. And I know that's not something we're happy about. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of those is, quite frankly, space limits our ability to do the follow the guidelines according to what has been requested of us. And so the leadership's made the best decisions they can make. I tell you, one of the blessings that's overlooked is with what we have done, this outside, inside, and even when we're all outside, God has blessed us tremendously with fantastic weather. We have had few interruptions because of this. And even this morning, for those of you that are inside, I just want you to know that as I was sitting in the sun, despite the cold weather, I was starting to feel a little sweat break out on my forehead, oddly enough. God has blessed us in so many ways. And with all that the virus and the ups and downs, we've had a number of people that have contracted the virus here. We've talked about that in the past months. We've not had an outbreak or a spread among us while here, which is a great blessing as well. And if you've heard some of those stories, they are discouraging of churches who have experienced that. And if that wasn't enough, we've had a presidential election that, quite frankly, I don't even know if it's over or not. And we've had, on top of that, racial tension and protest. And even this past week, what hit close to home for our family was a bombing in a city street that my wife and I have walked through and ate in that location for dozens of times. And there's this kind of thought, hopefully, from us that, well, hey, when this calendar clicks over next week to 2021, things are just going to magically get better. It's all going to go away. I kind of doubt that. But I think what is important for us to realize as we move forward is it doesn't matter. I mean, realistically, it doesn't matter what 2021 brings. What we have to do is move forward together, serving God in the best way we possibly can. My fear is that for me personally, there have been times where I have been spiritually paralyzed by all of the negativity of this year. My personal resolve is to move past that. The reality is, I at least, and maybe you too, are tired of discussions about elections and conspiracies and viruses and guidelines and all of that. It's time for us to just resolve to move forward, regardless of what those earthly restrictions may be. And maybe you've already been there. But as a congregation, what we want to do is to know where we're going. And so this morning, we want to spend more time looking ahead. And the first thing I want to share with you is some of our studies for next year and what those entail and what they're going to look like. There's 3 planned series going forward. And the first of those is simply called The Greatest Story Ever Written. And if you're not familiar with that story, let me tell you where you can find it. It's in the Bible that you hold, hopefully. And by the greatest story, by the way, what we want to look at is the entirety of the Bible as a story, from Genesis through its end. And what we will do in the process of this series together is look at, quite frankly, what sometimes we just consider to be great Sunday school and VBS stories. But we want to look at them from a perspective of how those stories all have connections to the Savior. We want to start with creation and look at Genesis 3 and the fall of man. And while those may be easy connections to make, how about Noah or the Tower of Babel or lessons from the family of Abraham or Moses or Elijah or David or Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego or Jonah? We want to look at all of those stories that we have known for so long, and we want to make sure we see the connections to the Lord from that. The passage that was read for us from Acts 8, in verses 30 through 35, is interesting because in that passage, the Spirit sends Philip to intercept the eunuch. And as he intercepts him, the eunuch is reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip asks this Ethiopian, he says, "Do you know who this is about?" And he says, "How can I unless somebody tells me?" And so what does Philip do? He starts there and he shows him Jesus. Now, I think a lot of us, had we had that similar circumstance, could probably take Isaiah 53 and connect it to Jesus because of passages like this. But what about the story of the Tower of Babel? How do you connect that to Jesus? Or the story of Noah and the ark? Through this series of 26 lessons, by the way, what we intend to do is to help ourselves do just that. To take these stories that we have looked at as children's stories, quite frankly, and connect them to Jesus in ways that will help us teach others about Jesus. The second series, and you can be turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, is simply called Under Construction. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4 starting, says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Each one of us comes to the Lord in a broken condition. We are men and women who are in a worse state than what God intended for us to have as He created mankind. Through our own choices that have led to sin and to disappointment, and through the influence of the world around us, we cannot help but be influenced by the darkness. But through Jesus, we are promised to be healed and to be taken from the darkness into light and to be changed and transformed, to be built up here, as this passage says, into a temple and into a priesthood. In this series, we just want to look at the idea of us still being works in progress. How God is working in our lives to build in us hope and faith and love and endurance and patience and zeal. How He works on our relationships, in our homes, in our churches, in our world. And our goal is through that to understand how God works in our lives and how we submit to Him in order to be changed. And then thirdly, we just want to take a look at Paul's letter to Titus, one of what is commonly called the pastoral epistles, one that we kind of sometimes just restrict to, hey, preachers, young preachers, y'all read this book, and the rest of us kind of skip over past that. But in this good letter, there are lessons about God and God's grace and our character as God's people and about our fellowship together. And there will be a host of other sermons mixed throughout that, but that gives you an idea of the three major directions we'll be going in 2021. We'll also be starting in the first quarter, and the books are in the back. You've probably seen them. If you've not picked one up, you need to. A book entitled Kingdom Leaders, written by Max Dawson, and it is a book that focuses on leadership. Earlier, I referenced the exile and the conquest periods of the Old Testament, Moses and Joshua. and how both of those periods had strong leadership. And yet after the conquest of Canaan, we see the people of Israel just go into chaos and disarray morally and spiritually. It's described there in the book of Judges as everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. And even the leadership that is focused in the book of Judges, quite frankly, fails to live up to the standard of Moses and Joshua. Seriously flawed men like Samson and Gideon and Barak, who have tremendous character flaws. God uses them, but they are not the same as Moses and Joshua, nor are they viewed the same. It's been said, I believe it was John Maxwell, that Moses' greatest success was that he had a Joshua, and Joshua's greatest failure was that he had no one to follow. In order for any group of people to continue in their success, they need good leadership. And churches need to have a plan for succession going forward. Men who are constantly in mind of filling those roles, training that goes on to assist, and this book is part of that process. Kingdom Leaders looks at the model of shepherding in the Scriptures and applies that specifically to leadership, and very much so to the office we often call the eldership or bishops. It is 26 lessons. I know the plan is tentatively to begin Sunday morning classes soon. I've not heard confirmed when that will begin, but this will be our study once we start. Even if we don't start on Sunday morning, it will be Wednesday night after this Wednesday night, because Joe will wrap up the fruit of the Spirit this coming Wednesday. And finally, we want to, in 2021, increase our involvement in the work, and especially in our community. One of the tremendous negatives of 2020 was the interruption that there is into involvement face-to-face with the community. Things are different now. There was a time you could go sit in a coffee shop with your Bible and just talk to people. You're not really supposed to do that anymore. It's frowned upon. And there was a time that it was easier to talk to strangers, and now we're all kind of a little bit standoffish about that. Yeah, we need to figure out how we can reach out into the world. We are told in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that our job there is to make disciples, to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. We know that is our primary mission. And I would encourage you as we move forward to think about ways you can do that. What are ways you personally can talk to other folks about Jesus? And I'll give some suggestions in a moment about that. And as we try to reach out into our community and share good news, we are constantly trying to figure out ways to do that collectively and to do that in a way that gets us excited and motivated and involved. Throughout the years, by the way, there's been numerous different methods of that. When I was growing up, we still got together and would go and knock on doors and hand out announcements or invitations or those kinds of things. Again, in our culture, even before 2020, by the way, that's completely frowned upon. How many of you are excited to open the door for a door-to-door salesman? In fact, if you go door-to-door today trying to sell something, you're posted on Chelsea Watch in 30 seconds. You are viewed very skeptically. And sadly, the same is true about if someone from a religious group goes and knocks on your door. So what can we do? I believe that secondary to only the gospel, the greatest thing we can do for our friends and our neighbors is to pray for them. In James 5 and verse 16, you remember in that section that talks about if you're sick, to call for the elders, And there in verse 16 tells us to confess the sins, our sins to one another and pray for one another to be healed. I want you to notice this statement that we've read a lot of times. I want you to think about it for a moment with me. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of righteous people has great power. Have you ever thought about some of the prayers of the Bible and the tremendous power that they had? Moses talking to God and reminding him of his promise and interceding and changed mind. That is powerful. Joshua praying and saying, "Son, stand still." And nature was suspended and the sun did not go down as it typically does. Prayer is powerful. In Ephesians 3, in verses 20 and 21, we find there Paul says that God is able to do abundantly more than we can ask or think. Our God is able to do more than I can ask. But what that does mean is I need to start asking more. If you ask, you will receive, we are told. I want to caution you before I go forward that what I'm about to share with you is not a program. This is not intended to be something that we just do for a couple of weeks. But this is a way of us living among our community. And that is, starting this year, we want to start praying specifically for our neighbors. And you may not even know their name. And that's okay. You can still pray for them and their house. Here's the simple concept. What you see, by the way, is the front of a postcard. And I'm grateful to Elizabeth Bailey for helping out with the design work. I'm going to give her a little shout out for that. The idea is simple, that you will start praying for your neighbors. Start to the one on the left and the one on the right and pray for them specifically, even if you don't know their name. Pray for God to bless them, to sustain them as a household, to meet their needs, to use you to meet those needs, and to help you to get to know them, to help you allow them to see the impact that Jesus and the gospel has had on your life, the transformation that you have had. You pray for them specifically, and then when you finish praying for them, you send them this card that says you've prayed for them. By the way, you don't have to sign your name to that. But you can. You can leave a note or you can just send them an anonymous card. And you will notice there is a website on there. And John Dean has helped set this up. We're grateful for that. Where they can go in and they can give us a specific prayer request if they so desire. And we can reach out to them. And those specific prayer requests, what we'll do is we'll give those out to as many of you as want to be involved in praying for those specific requests. John Clemens is going to head that up. And if you want to be part of that, you need to let him know. He's out of town right now. And we will do that. We will also, on the fifth Sunday, dedicate our assemblies to prayer. And part of that will be dedicated to praying publicly for any of those specific requests when they're appropriate. You might say, well, I don't know the guy next to me. That's okay. His mailbox probably has his house number on it. You can put, just like half the mail you get, resident and their address. And what do you do when you've prayed for everybody on your street? You go to the next street. And then you go to the next street. We want to pray for all the houses in our neighborhood. What do you do when that neighborhood has been prayed for? You go to the next neighborhood. You pray for them as well. want to caution you, by the way, this is not some mass mailing kind of organizational thing. We only mail a card to the house we have specifically prayed for. And if that's two that we've prayed for this week, or if that's 10, we mail that to them and we let them know. Now, there will be other things that we will do focusing on praying for our community. Our booth at the Big Kaboom, we'll plan to do that again, will be focused on praying for the community. One of the reasons why you don't see the word Chelsea on there is we know that many of you live in other places. We still want you to do this in your neighborhood. We want you to reach out to them. And we want this to be something, as I said, that is not some short-term kind of focus, but it becomes part of our mission. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And as they come to the temple, there is a man there who has laid there for most of his, I think all of his life, and he is asking for alms. And you may remember there, Peter says, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he heals him. It's interesting in that text to think that what Peter gave that man was far greater than money. He gave him something that was life-changing. Now, neither you nor I have the ability to heal today that I know of. If some of you do, come see me. I've got some things that can be taken care of. But we do serve a God that heals. We do serve a God that can cure illness and disease. And we are told that our prayers have great power. The greatest thing I can do for my neighbor today is to pray for them. And we want to take and make that our focus and part of our mission, along with sharing the gospel message. Let's close with this. What can you do in 2020? Several years ago, we introduced this as a logo. It's on our sign. It's the heart is everywhere. It may be on your car. You may have a shirt with it on there. We put that heart as many places as we can. By the way, the heart is on the postcard. You did notice that. But remember that this is more than a logo, that those four words at the bottom, praising, learning, caring, teaching, are focuses for us collectively. And so as you ask the question, maybe what can I do, what I want us to do is just think about those four areas. So as we go forward, hit the wrong button, there we go. When it comes to praising, which is our assemblies, what you can do as we move forward together is you can make plans to be present. This is our family time as a church. This is when we can all be together. And I understand that part of that, no doubt, is social before and after we assemble. But the assembly time is our spiritual feasting time together. And while that has been interrupted and it's not the same way it used to be, that there's some in here and there's some outside and there's some joining us from home, we are still together in that sense. And it is important to make plans to do that. Let me add this. I'm going to tread lightly here, but part of that making plans is making plans to be here a little early. Sometimes we struggle with that, and we need to make those plans. And part of making plans actually begins the night before, by making sure that we're rested and ready and prepared to go and to worship God and encourage our brethren. And so as you think about that moving forward, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says that this is our time to stimulate one another, to encourage one another. That's what we're doing. Make that important. And part of that is investing yourself into this assembly, becoming a part of it, participating in it actively, being involved. What about in learning or our Bible classes? Again, make plans to join. hopefully in person, but if not in person, we have been streaming those, and you can join virtually. But make plans to do that, and don't just plan to be here, but plan to be a part of the study. I've worked with a local church for almost 25 years. One of the things that's always come up about teaching is that nobody likes a teacher who lectures, who just does all the talking. I will tell you that that partly falls on the responsibility of the teacher to generate discussion. But there's also a responsibility of the students to be prepared to discuss. And there are times where I've either been a student or a teacher where a question is asked that has been part of the preparation ahead of time, and there is no discussion, which makes you wonder if anybody is prepared. One of the greatest ways we can avoid that lecturing class period is to come ready to talk ourselves and to discuss the material. And so come prepared for that. Moving on to caring, our small groups have also been affected by 2020. Some of those groups have met outside. The weather challenges that now, but I know that we will be shortly, leadership will be meeting, discussing those groups and what we do with them going forward. I'm sure rearranging those groups. But as we prepare for that time, make sure that you're preparing yourselves to be a part of that. Our small groups is one of, I think, the greatest blessings we have. We really get to know each other better in that setting. And I'd encourage you in 2021, if you've not been taking advantage of that, take advantage of that small group setting. But in addition to that, each one of us individually just need to set goals for getting to know each other better. You look around the room, or if you're outside, look around outside. There's probably somebody you're looking at right now you don't know very well. Make it your goal to get to know them better next year. Let's strengthen our relationships. In John 13, Jesus said, "The world knows that we are His disciples by how we love each other." It's hard to love people you don't know. Let's build those relationships. And finally, through teaching or evangelism. First and foremost, talk to other people about Jesus. Why do we find it so hard to talk about Jesus? You ever thought about that? I mean, it's interesting that I can talk with anybody about college football, or I can talk with anybody about food or woodworking or any of those other things that interest me. And yet when it comes to Jesus, sometimes I'm scared to say anything. Yes, even the preacher, by the way. Why is that? Each of us personally needs to make a goal that we get over that in 2021. And let me make another observation, by the way. Part of what this year has done for us is it's made us really good at seeing all of the bad stuff around us. It's made us really good at getting involved in what maybe we'd call gripe sessions through social media and talking about how horrible everything is. Let me ask you a question. What if we took those things and tried to turn them into opportunities to talk about Jesus? Instead of arguing about vaccines and disease and protocols, what if we reminded people of the great physician? Instead of arguing about elections and presidency, what if we talked about the king who never disappoints? What if instead of focusing on all the worries of this world, we talked about the world to come? How to secure that inheritance of eternity, of a better place, where none of these things, none of this adversity that we've had is going to happen in that life. That needs to be our goal. In other words, instead of complaining, and seeing all the things that may be wrong? What if we become the givers of hope to the world around us? Sharing the message of redemption and salvation, transformation through Jesus. What if that was our focus? And along those lines, our praying house to house. And by the way, two tremendous benefits of that. First, praying for the souls around you makes you aware of the souls around you. And you become a blessing to them in that sense. But secondly, and the one that you may overlook, is that we grow closer to God through prayer. It is never a bad idea to pray more. And so as we pray more for the people that we love and the people we don't even know, we grow closer to God. We are both blessed through this effort. What's 2021 going to be like? I got to be honest, I don't know. But I do know this, that regardless of what happens in our nation and in the world around us, whether it's politically, whether it's in the area of health, whatever you want to talk about, that regardless of what happens, as God's child, I still will serve Him and look forward to something far greater. And as God's family here, that's what we're going to do. To look forward and to serve together. To learn more about Jesus next year and to learn more about how God is working in us. To focus on praying for those around us and loving our neighbor as ourselves through those prayers. And to focus on loving each other. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says that we come together to encourage each other as the day approaches. One of the greatest things I have learned from this year is I need to be with you more than I ever realized. I need your encouragement. I need your motivation that you give me to serve, to look past the world around us, and to focus on what really matters. And even though things are different, even though in a minute, rather than singing here, we're going to go out and sing in the parking lot, where quite frankly, the sound's not as good, it's hard to hear each other, it's cold, and all the negative things, you know what the great thing is? I'm going to get to sing with you. And rather than focus on the fact that as we partake the supper, some of us are in here and some are outside and some are at home, I get to take the supper with you. Amen. And rather than focus on praying and someone's out there and someone's in here, we're still praying together. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And we will serve Him today and after the calendar changes. And may God help us together as we focus on these things to be strengthened and encouraged as His people. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you so much for today and the time to be together. You have blessed us tremendously. We are amazed at your love for us, a love that is seen in the creation of our life and the world around us to provide that sustained physical life. We're amazed at the sacrifice you made to give us spiritual life after we damaged that so badly. You gave up your Son to extend grace to heal us and make us whole again. We're amazed at the gift of fellowship that you've blessed us with each other, to encourage each other, to help each other in this world. to help us to move forward together and to serve you. God, we realize that we don't always do a good job on focusing on the good and overlooking the negative. We pray that you'll strengthen us with that, that you'll give us opportunity to see the blessings that you have poured out upon us so abundantly. We are mindful of the adversity that our world is facing, and we beg that you would intervene, that you would be with our country politically, that you would be with this whole world in regards to this virus. And we beg you to act. But Father, beyond that, we beg you to create in us a heart that leans upon you and serves you regardless of those things, to help us to focus on what is good, what is righteous, to walk humbly with you, and to love those around us and practice justice. Father, we do not deserve your love, but we beg you that as we go forward, that you will help us to reflect your love to those around us. Bless us in our work, and bless us in our fellowship. We are thankful for Jesus that makes this all possible. In his name we pray. Amen.